Okay, we're starting here from the bottom of Lamed Chedmon Bet. The Gemara wants to know, we're discussing about the ability to object to a chazaka in order to prevent a chazaka from taking hold. So Gemara wants to know, hechidami mechal, what is a mechal? How do you determine, what do you have to say in order for it to be classified as a mechal, as an objection? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Zvid, planya gazlanahu lo havi mechal. If you just say that this individual is a gazlan, that is not a machah, that's not an objection. Why? Because you're disparaging his character, you're not saying anything about his interaction with the land or the object which you're objecting to. So when you say planya gazlanahu, that's simply, right, basically lashon hara about this individual, but doesn't directly address the issue of him taking your land. Whereas if you say planya gazlanahu, the nokidla la are begazlanuta, that this individual is a gazlan because he took my land begazlanuta, right? That he took my land inappropriately. Ulamachar tavanale bedina, and then tomorrow I'm going to take him to Beis Din. That is havi machal. So here there's a machlokus how to explain the last statement over here of ulamachar tavanale bedina, that eventually I'm going to take him to din, but that's necessary to be a part of the machor or not. So the Rashbam brings down the two perishim. The Rashbam brings down first the perish of the Rach. The perish of the Rach, he says that he doesn't, he has to say, lo tavana lebedina. He has to say that I'm going to take him to Beis Din to say that I'm serious about this issue. I mean that he stole my land and I'm not going to walk away from this. This is no joking matter. I'm going to end up taking him to Beis Din. So that's the machon or tavalein bedino, right? Habi machon. So then tomorrow, I'm going to take him to Beis Din. That's a proper machon. The Rashbam himself quotes a shot from Yabbi Yaakov Bar Yakar. And based on that, he says that you don't need this last line. This last line is extraneous, right? And not necessary to create the machon. And why is that? Because he says, the question is whether it's directed towards the land, right, or it's directed towards the individual. So he says that the first statement, or the key aspect of the lashon here, which makes it a machor, an objection, has to do whether you make it personal or not personal. He says if you had said originally that when you say that a person is a gazlan, he's a thief, and he's machzik bekarka, and he takes properties inappropriately, that's not a machor because you didn't direct it specifically at your, right, at your land, or your objection is not directly at him for taking your land. Whereas if you personalize it and you say that hudanakit la'arai because lanuta, he's taking my land inappropriately, that's already a machor, even without this additional statement of machar tavanale bedino. So it'd be machlokas rach who says that you need that actual statement that I'm going to take him to Beis Din to give it to solidify that this is a, right, a serious claim, or according to the Rav Yaakov Bar Yakar, which the Tosfos also quotes and re-quotes it, and the Rashbam says this, the Ikar Pshat here, the question is only if you direct it at your land. If you make general statements either about his character, that he's a thief, or you make a general statement that he takes land, right, both of those are not sufficient to be considered a machon, an objection. The objection must be directed that he took my land and he's a thief. Right, so that will be considered a proper mechah. Now, if you remember, that was the Gemara's Havamina earlier on. The Gemara says, now, based on this, this is classified as a mechah, is when you call him a gazlan. So the Gemara wanted to know back on yesterday's daf, right, in Lamed Chet, also back on Lamed Hey, what happens when you have a person who owns the land for the production, or a person has mashkanta to surah? How do you object? How do you do mechah? So that was the Gemara's problem with the Havamina, is that a mechah says that you're a thief and you're on my property inappropriately. So Gemara kept thinking that that's the only way you can have a mechah. So what do you do in situations where you can't make such a statement? There is no mechah? So that's what the Gemara comes back and teaches us, no, that a mechah is allowed to be a quasi-mechah, which says that he has it for production, but he doesn't have it for the land. That's also classified as mechah, even though you're making an outright statement that he's a thief. And that was what the Gemara's hitlabtut, which it was questioning or safek was, and the Gemara's conclusion is that you have to be mechah in those cases. You have to object.
No, the mechah is whatever is appropriate to prevent the person from getting a
chazaka. Correct. All right, so now the Gemara is going to continue with the position that we had before, but mecha shalo b'fanav havi mecha, that a mecha that's not done face-to-face, an objection that's not done face-to-face is a good objection. How far do we take that? Meaning that how good, right, how much do we assume that the grapevine will reach him, the rumors will reach him or not? So that's the Gemara's question over here. What happens, he says, Amar, he says to the Edim, or the people in whom he makes the objection, Lo Timrule, Don't tell him. So I'm objecting, but don't tell him. My, what's the din? So I'm Rav Zid. How come our low timer late? Rav Zid says, what's the question here? He told him, don't tell him. So of course, it's not a good macha. Rav Papa says, no. Right, this is human psychology. The day low timer late, achrinu imri lehu. Right, when you say don't tell him, what does that mean? Don't tell him. But you can tell other people. So they'll go ahead and tell other people. So I mean, even though he's giving them information, which he says, do not repeat to the individual who I'm trying to object in front of, nevertheless, they're going to take that to mean, they're going to be medayik. Oh, he said, don't tell him. But it means maybe I'll just tell them the rest of my friends, right? Who want to know about it. By telling the rest of the friends, what does that do? That creates chavra, chavra islay, right? And chavra the chavra, chavra islay. Then you've generated what exactly is the purpose of a macha when it's not fun of, which is that you generate the rumor mill or the grapevine, which it will reach him eventually. So by just preventing from speaking directly to the individual, that's not enough of a stop to say that it won't reach him, because it will reach him through the indirect method, and therefore Rav Papa says that is a good mecha.
What type of mecha is a mecha when you say don't tell the person? It's like almost like he's saying, I don't want this to be mecha.
Right. So that's it. We're going to see that when it gets much stronger, that you're right. Rav Papa says in this case, the psychology of the people that you tell will be that they're still going to repeat it to someone else, and that's enough of an issue to get there.
Maybe he did want it to get to the guy says, don't tell.
what does he have to know? It's important that the court.
No, he has to know. In order to preserve his star, he needs to know, otherwise, right? Because right, otherwise then he doesn't know to preserve his star. But the assumption is that it will reach him. I think that's what Rapapa is saying. Rapapa says the assumption is that it will reach him, even if he says do not reach him. Now, this does not disagree with Shmuel yesterday. Remember we had a Machlokas Rav and Shmuel yesterday. If a Edim will never reach the individual, right, then it's not classified as a Macha. So it also says over here that Rapapa doesn't necessarily disagree with the Shmuel's position. Because over there it's impossible for the Edim to reach him. Over here, basically the information will reach it. There it's not, these Edim could reach him. In potential they could reach him and it could get the information to him. It's just that he instructed him not to, so it goes the indirect route. But if it's impossible for the Edim to get there, that's when Shmuel makes a statement that we don't allow it to be, or don't classify it as a Macha.
It seems like if I say don't tell him, so I can see the court looking at that and saying, well, you obviously weren't serious because, if you didn't want the guy who was there to know about it, then you couldn't have really been serious about it.
Right, you could have situations. Look, you could come up with circumstances where he has another business deal with the guy and he doesn't want this to interfere with the business deal.
Or you could be afraid of getting bumped off.
Right. Right, you could be afraid, right. There's certain things that could tell him that he doesn't want to go directly, but he wants to ensure that his rights are not abrogated here by making a statement that there's a macha. Now, macha does two things, like you're suggesting. One macha is that shows that a person doesn't stand idly by while his property is being used by someone else. That's one purpose. The second purpose is that shifts the burden of obligation or burden of proof to the other party. And that's why he has to keep his shtar. Once there is a macha, right, the burden of proof is shifted. And that's, Rapapa just says there has to be potential that the information will reach him. Like you're saying, the macha is enough over here. Once he says it's my property, that macha is sufficient. Whereas once that has been established, we just have to ensure that the individual, once the burden of proof is shifted to him, that individual will also know to keep his shtar. So I think that's what Rapapa is suggesting, and both will happen over here. So now, so now what happens if he doesn't say anything? The Rashbam points out here, this is independent of the previous statement. The individual who does the macha says, go, I'm objecting. Then Amrulay, the Edim respond to him, or whoever he's saying in front of him, lo Amrinanlay, we're not going to tell him. Right? Not that he instructs them not to tell him, but they say back to him, we're not going to tell him. So Amr Rav Zvid, Hak Amrulay, lo Amrinanlay. Rav Zvid again says, listen, they say they're not going to tell him. They say they're not going to tell him. Then what's there to talk about here? There's no macha here. So Papa Amar, the Didei lo Amrinanlay, Vachrinan Amriluhu. Again, the same psychology is that they said, listen, we're not going to tell him. But they'll tell their friends, and if they tell their friends, that's sufficient, because chavra, chavra islay, v'chavra t'chavra, chavra islay. Again, we assure through the rumor mill, or through the grapevine, that it will reach him. So the mechal, the objection, is a full-fledged objection, and we don't worry about the fact that it won't reach the machzik now, so that he'll know the burden of proof is on him, because of this indirect method, rumor mill, where it will reach him. So amr luhu, the next case, lo tipuk luhu shuta. Right, so now it comes, he's taking a much stronger stance. He says, don't say a peep. Don't let a word come out of you. Right, he gives the machlat to Edim, he says, don't say a word. Samar Abzvid Hakamar Lo Tipuk Lechushuta. He says, "Don't say a word." Right? This is from the word only because it's coming up now in Sukkot. The Gemara at the end of Sukkah says, "Shuta the Yonoka." Right? The talking or the words of a child come from their home. Right? That's why they punished at the end of the Gemara in Sukkah, in the last daf in Sukkah, when in the time that they entered the Beis HaMikdash, they came in and this woman came in and she kicked the Mizbeach and said, "Locus, locus, at matay atem achil monum shel Yisrael," right? "You fox, fox, how long are you going to eat up all the money of the Jews?" And then the Gemara says, because of that, they sealed up her Beit Av, they sealed up, they were punished in the Mikdash, and the entire family no longer had a special, you know, ta in the Beit HaMikdash. The Gemara says, how could you punish a whole family for one woman? And there Gemara says, shutu d'riyonka, the speech of the child, right, it comes from the house, it has to get come from the house. So that's the word shuta over here. I just only to, because it's in Yana Dioma, it's in Gemara and Gemara Sukkah, it's a shuta. So he says, don't say a word. There's only one opinion here. We don't see Rav, right? We say over here that there's no choice. Rav Papa doesn't show up and say, no, 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 Rav Zvid. Over here, he agrees that when you say, don't say a word, that means don't say a word. So I'm Rav Papa, hi, kamri lo yalum of kinan, shuta. Right? So also, Rav Papa says, if they say to him, lum of kinan, shuta, if they say, we won't say a word, meaning that he doesn't instruct them not to say a word, but the Edom themselves say, we won't say a word, we won't say a peep, the same thing, the same din here, that it doesn't reach him, that's not considered a good macha. So in the conclusion, Rav Zvid and Rav Papa are suggesting that once you reach a point where he's making such a statement, a strong statement, that don't say anything over it, don't say a word, or the Edom themselves indicate to him, we're not going to say a word, in both of those cases, right, then it's not considered or classified as a macha, both according to Rav Zvid and according to Rav Papa. So to your question, Gedal, earlier, there is a point at which we say that it's no longer macha. I mean, if he says, don't say a word, then he's clearly not being serious. Whereas if he says, don't say it to him, maybe there are mitigating factors that suggest he doesn't want to say it to this guy directly, but it will. He knows it'll reach him in the end. Now, if Rav Huna Brei Rav Shua comes with the biggest chiddush and says, "Amar kol milsa de l'rami alei de inish amaluhu v'lava date." It's an amazing statement, psychological statement again, that when it comes to keeping secrets, people only keep secrets when it has some relevance to them. I mean, if it's something that is relevant to them and important to them, then they'll keep a secret. If it's something that a person doesn't think about or doesn't give second thought to, then in that instance, they will let it go, even though they're told to keep it a secret. So Rav Huna Brei Yehoshua says that even in cases where they say, when he says, don't say a peep, or they say, we won't say a peep, we still say that the information will reach him, because the Edim have no personal interest in this property and are keeping it a secret. It's to them, it's not a big deal. So it'll come up in a conversation. You know, 2 weeks later, it'll come up in a conversation and they'll just throw it out because they don't remember, they don't think. They'll speak without thinking. That's the basic idea. And if you remember earlier in the Masechta, we had in the beginning with Herod, right? The whole case there. Then Herod says to him, "Well, why don't you tell just between me and you? It'll be a secret, right? Right, there'll be no." It says, right, "Ofa Shamayim," right, the birds will take the information. That's the case. When people don't keep secrets. That's the bottom line. You want something to be a secret, you don't tell anybody. Once you've told someone else, already it's not a secret. And that's the point of Rav Huna Brei Yehoshua here. That when you tell someone not to say something, right, and for some people that means definitely say it, right? But other people, for most people who believe, right, they won't say it, it'll still come up accidentally. After time, they'll forget, "Oh, whoops, I wasn't supposed to say something." All right, it'll come up in conversation, and it'll get passed on because they don't think about this information.
So specifically in the latter case, where they volunteer...
When they voluntarily say don't. So if you look in the Rashbam, the Hilchasa, he says, "Ben Amar me'machad lo temrulu midei ma'ani mile de'maksik, ben Amru lo mafkinan, shuta bekulhu avi mecha." Says that's the way the Rach paskins. The Ashbam brings it down and he agrees, like Shaul is suggesting now, that it's only the one case where it says is where he says don't say a peep, right? Don't say a peep, then they won't. Then we don't say it's a good mecha, because there the problem may not be that about whether it gets spread, but the fact is that if he says don't say a word, that means that his intention may not be that there's a mecha here, like you suggested earlier, Gedalia. What? I mean, if he says don't say anything, he's not intending for it ever get there, and there can't be a good mecha. Maybe even if it reaches there, his intent, it's questionable intent about whether his objection is a real objection over there. Right now, next case. Amarav Nachman, mecha shlop vanav havi mecha. That a mecha, an objection that's not face to face, that is a good mecha. So, Eidvei Rav, the Rav Nachman. Yes, so that's a problem, right? What was Rabbah thinking, right? Rabbah concluded, Hilchasa, that Mecha Shalafanav is a good Mecha. So now all of a sudden over here, it seems like Rabbah's backpedaling. So Gemara is going to ask you a question. Very good show. Say, Edvei Rabbah, Rav Nachman, Am Rav Yehuda, Lo Amru Shloshanim, El Kadei Shehei Basfamya, Biafzik Shana, Biachu Biodil Shana, Biavod Shana Acheret. So it's clear from Rabbi Yehuda's statement that you demand the Mecha Shabifanav. Why? Because what does Rabbi Yehuda say? He says, you have to go, we need enough time that he stays there for a year, then they have a year to reach Spain, right? And then another year to get back. All right, so why do you need the year to get back? I mean, what's the importance of getting back? It must be that Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's Mecha Shalofanav. The Tosfos in yesterday's daf asked, what do you mean? A year to get back? He says, maybe you need the year for the other people. Even if he doesn't have to get back in person, the information still has to reach him. So why don't you just say that it's Rabbi Yehuda believes Mecha Shalofanav. He just needs to leave enough time for the people to get back. But he says the wording of Rabbi Yehuda is strange, and the wording of Rabbi Yehuda indicates that he has to get back here. Because the wording of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah is, that he will come, right? Otherwise, he could have just said, that he could have just said that the information will reach him over the next year. The fact that he says, that he'll come, is indicative that the individual himself must show up in order to give it. But it's clear from Rabbi Yehuda that you need Mechosh B'fanav. Right? And we saw that yesterday, that Rav, in the first lesson of Rav, right, when he went to explain it, he says, I was explaining the Tanakhama, but I really hold like Rabbi Yehuda. When he says, I really hold like Rabbi Yehuda, it means Mechosh B'fanav. You need a Mechosh that is objective face-to-face. So Rav is asking, right, Rav Nachman, how can we conclude that Mecha Shalofanav is a good Mecha when Rabbi Yehuda explicitly states otherwise? So Rashbam points out that why doesn't he just bring the Tanakhama as a proof? Meaning that, right, you have the Tanakhama says Mecha Shalofanav, and then you have Rabbi Yehuda says Mecha Bifanav. So why is he avoiding the Tanakhama? So he says, the Rashbam says, it's a nice line in the Rashbam, he says, Yikal Meimar Derava Mukila the Resha Bamila Ocharai. That Rabbi explained the Resha some other way. But he doesn't tell you what that other way is, right? Because we had a problem. That was the whole problem with the Gemara yesterday, that he couldn't find a way to explain the Reisha, so they explained him, Mecha Shalofanav Avi Mecha. The Rashi says, all right, I just have to say that Rava doesn't quote that because he thinks that's explained in another way. Whatever way that is, he doesn't give over here. So Gemara says, all right, so he says, V'isagadach Mecha Shalofanav Avi Mecha, Lama Lede Meite. Why does he have to come? Leite V'hotam, he stay there at Duchte in his place, V'lim Chayotam, and he'll object over there. And then why does he have to show up for it? So Gemara says, Eitza Tova Kamash Malan. No, that Rabbi Yehuda is giving good advice. Good advice is you show up and you object. Why? Dineite Venishko Ara Uperet. Show up and take your land back and your pirot. So based on that, what is he suggesting? He says, if you wait for the rumors to go through, what's going to happen in the interim? The guy's just going to continue eating the pirot, right? And it's hard. Gezel de nechal. Gezel that's eaten. I mean, that is hard to get back. It's much easier, right? This is true anytime, right? You have the problem with Madoff and all these other issues. Once you spent the money, it's much harder to get it back. If you catch the thief before you spent the money, at least then you can get it back. Problem is, if you have a thief who doesn't have the money anymore, there's nothing to do. You can't, and you try to make a claim, try to extract money from him, there's a limit to how much money or how much you can get out of him. So over here, it's an Eitz Tova. Sure. Right. Sure, you're going to get him to, court, right? And you're going to try to extract it from him, but he doesn't have the money to pay for it. Evidently, it doesn't exist anymore, right? So it wasn't, not a good solution. But you have to get, so you're going to have to extract the money. That's a much harder thing. If you show up yourself and stop him, at least you'll preserve whatever is now, the payroll from now, and he won't take them. So he says, it's just an Eitz Tova Kamashma. Not that Mecha wouldn't work, but he's telling you, good idea to show up. So now Gemara says, ask question that Shoal asked. So Gemara says, Mecha demotiv le Rava the Rav Nachman, Mecha de lo svir le, Mecha shalofanav avi Mecha. The fact that Rava is questioning Rav Nachman about this whole position suggests that what? Rava doesn't hold of Mecha shalofanav avi Mecha. Then objection not face to face is a good Mecha. Vama Rava, then yesterday Rava said, Ve'il chasa Mecha shalofanav avi Mecha. So that is, he says explicitly that the halacha is that a mecha that's not face to face is a good mecha. So what is the question here? When it says bata d'shama min Rav Nachman savra, that once he heard this response from Rav Nachman, then he took on the opinion. So I mean, this was an earlier conversation, right? This is an earlier conversation. Rav Nachman, once Rav Nachman was able to explain Rav Yehuda to him in the Mishnah, then he accepted that position, and that's why Rava says hilchasa mecha shlo pfanav avi mecha. A mecha that's not face to face is classified as a good mecha. mecha. Right now, the Gemara is, we're going to go through this. It's a little complex because the Gemara can be explained two different ways, and based on that, it'll have an outcomes, and then we'll have the halacha, we have Hilchos Lashon Hara. We'll do a little halacha the Maisa today. But this is the famous, very, very famous heter. That's not a heter that we'll get to today. All right. So we have, all right. So we have this, Ashkhinu Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina the Talmid of the Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina saw the Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan. And who? Miyam Rabbi Yochanan Mecha Bekama. Did Rabbi Yochanan ever tell you how much, how many people, in front of how many people do you have to object? I mean, so far we have, what is a Mecha? We have that a Mecha Shalob Bafanav, a Mecha that is not face to face is a good Mecha. The only thing we didn't do is, or didn't explain is, what, when you do a Mecha that's not face to face, how many people do you have to do it in front of? I mean, what's the, is it two, is it three, is it more? What's the answer? So he says, Rabchia bar Abba am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabchia bar Abba, so obviously it's Tamid of Rabbi Yochanan, saying the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Mecha b'fnei shnayim. You need two. It has to be Edim. Two Edim is sufficient to create a Mecha. Rabbi Bo am Rabbi Yochanan. Mecha b'fnei shlosha. You have to do it in front of three. So Gemara says, no, I'm just saying three. Not based in. We'll see. The Gemara is going to say, what's the machlokas here? Leima b'drabba baravuna kamithlegeh. Let us suggest that they're arguing in the position of Rabba Baravuna that they're arguing about. So this is the often misquoted heter. Da'amar Rabba Baravuna komilsa dimit amra ba'apalei tlata. Anything that is said in front of three people, leipa mishum lishna bisha. There is no longer a problem of lishon hara. So that's the manda amar bifnei shnayim, the one who says before two, late the Baravuna. Right, the one who says two doesn't hold the Rabba Baravuna. Mandam Rifei Gimel, the one who says in front of three, it laid the Rabba Baravuna. And then the one who says in front of three says they hold like Baravuna. So I'll explain it first according to this. The Rach, the Rabbeinu Chanan explains it. The Rabbeinu Gershom is also a toe-faced that Shita, and, which is rejected by the Rashbam. And, but we'll explain it first. Let's, so what does he say? What does it mean? Anything that's said in front of three people, there is no din of Lashon Hara. Who is there no din of Lashon Hara for? Is it the person who said it in front of the three people? Or the three people who now repeat it afterwards, there's no din of Lashon Hara. Who is it that is no longer under the din of Lashon Hara? So that's what, if you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom says, Kol Milta, it's on the bottom, towards the bottom of Lama Tetam and Aleph, in the, there's a dot in the Bnei Adam, if you see in the Rabbeinu Gershom. Kol Milta Shel Gnai, Dimit Amar B'lapei Tlata, V'azlei Hanei Tlato, U'mishtoi Le'lachrinei, Le'bei Mishum Lishin Abisha. So the Rabbeinu Gershom suggests, and it's the position of the Rabbeinu Chananel as well, that the problem here is if the protection that is for to someone who says it in front of three is that if those three people repeat it, there's no Lashon Hara. It's not addressing the individual himself who said it b'apei tzlata. He still said Lashon Hara. The only question now is these three people, when they go and repeat it, is it a din in Lashon Hara? Now, if you explain the Gemara, what do you mean that they hold like Rabbah Baravuna or not? So now, the Rabbeinu Gershom's Gersa writes like this. If you look on the top, the Rabbeinu Gershom on the top of Lama Tetam Abed, so Mandam Arbi Fnei Shnayim Havya Mecha Les Le De Rabbah Baravuna Devadai Im Misabrim Hanei Shnayim Lamachzik Demicha Ma'arer In Lashon Arabekach. He says there's no Lashon Hara. Means that he says that even if these two repeat it afterwards, there's no din in Lashon Hara. Meaning that what Rabbi Barhuna suggests is that it's only not Lashon Hara when it's said in front of three, and those three people repeat it. So what does it mean that they don't hold? The person who says two doesn't hold the Rabbi Barhuna's heter. He says that even when it's two, there's no din of Lashon Hara, and they can go repeat it. Whereas Uman Damer Bifnei Shlosha Itle the Rabbi Huna Gimel Ein by Hem Mishum Lashon Hara Av Shnayim Imicha Bifnei Hem Ein Misaprim Bishmo Mishum Lashon Hara Misaprim. What's the problem? According to this, the one who says three says Dafka three and not two. Why? Because three people don't have a din of Lashon Hara, and therefore they're going to tell over the information to the Machzik. Whereas if it's told only in front of two, what's the din if two people repeat it according to this? It's a Lashon Hara. And repeating this in front of the Machzik would be a din of Lashon Hara, and they'll be in violation of Lashon Hara. So the way the Rabbeinu Chanan and the Rabbeinu Gershon explained the Gemara, the problem here is that the people who get the information have to repeat it. That's the whole idea of the Mecha. The Mecha is that it's going to reach the individual. So now it has to be in a case where they're permitted to repeat the information. So according to one who says two, he says that two are able to repeat it. There's no Lashon Hara here. They can go repeat it. According to one who says three, he says it must be three because only then is there no din of Lashon Hara, and therefore they can repeat the information. If it's less than three, there's a din of Lashon Hara, and they won't go and repeat it. If they're not going to repeat it, then you don't have a Mecha. That's the way they explain it. Now, the Rashbam comes and objects. He says, it's interesting how he quotes it. He says, B'chol Rabbeinu Mefarshim. All my rabbis explain it, right? The mecha, that gabi mecha, nami lashon hara ika. That an objection is considered lashon hara. The underlying assumption in the Rabbeinu Gershom, the Rabbeinu Chananel, is that if someone objects to you staying on their land, that if you repeat that information, that's lashon hara. That's the underlying assumption. He says, I don't understand that. He says, v'lav milsehi, do dami lashon hara klal. He says, this isn't lashon hara. The ikar mecha, haino mishum, debi'inan shi'avot, davar lazunav shal mavzik. The whole idea of a mecha is that it reaches the mavzik. That's the whole purpose of the mecha. It's not lashon hara. Oh, this guy's a gazlan. He's on my property inappropriately. That's not lashon hara. You're telling him information that he needs to know. It's important for him to know this information.
We've always talked about the people giving it as a secret.
Right.
I mean, in any Amoraim that said that there's an issue of lashon hara. Actually, they said even if you keep it as a secret,
they'll still get to him. Right. I mean, I assume that the Gemara said we waited until now to deal with the lashon hara issue, but I agree with you that it wasn't addressed before. She says, mitzvah hi lomar lo, kidei she'izhar b'shtaro. Not only is it not lashon hara, it's a mitzvah to tell him the information. Otherwise, he doesn't know to keep his shtar. He's going to think there's no ur on his property. He'll let the shtar go, and then he's not going to have any protection. You're actually doing him a disfavor by not telling him the information. She says, what kind of lashon hara is it? So the Rashbam has to explain it the other way around.
But
right?
He actually has a shtar. He says he's a gossip, he's on my land. I think that is lashon hara.
I'm saying, but even for the people who pass information, they don't have to tell Motzi Shem, they should just say, watch your shtar, because there's someone who's making a claim against you. That's all they have to pass on. I mean, they don't have to say that he's a gazlan. But the fact is that we want the information to reach him. So that's the Rashbam. So now, what does the Rashbam do?
They actually say
they're passing on lashon hara. Okay. So the Rashbam says here that the issue at hand is whether information travels or not. That's the question. Does information travel or does it not travel? Is this something that's going to become well known or is this something that's not going to become well known? So that's what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam says that the question is, if you say in front of three that it's not classified as Lashon Hara anymore, because it's a milta de avide de gluye. It's something that's going to become clear. It's going to get spread. When you tell something to three people, the underlying assumption is that everybody's going to know about it. Okay, if everybody's going to know about it, then it's not classified as Lashon Hara. We'll have to see why. Okay, but then it's not classified as Lashon Hara. Whereas if you only tell it to two people, it won't get out. So the Rashi says the equation is not about the Lashon Hara. The equation is about the information flow. Is that when you tell two people it's Lashon Hara because it won't get out. When you tell it to three people, it is not Lashon Hara because it will get out, right?
You're talking about four people.
No,
for
the person who speaks it, it's not Lashon Hara. Right? I said we have to explain it. We'll get to this in a second. For the one who is speaking here, it won't be classified as Lashon Hara if he says it to three people because it's information that will get out. Whereas if it speaks it to two people, it won't get out, and then it is classified as Lashon Hara. The main issue is that whether you think the individual you're speaking about is going to find out about the information you're speaking about. When you speak, if it's really Lashon Hara, then you're only going to tell it to two people because you don't want anybody else. You're trying to disparage the individual, but you don't want the individual to hear what you're saying. Otherwise, you'd say it to his face. The whole point of Lashon Hara is, right, that you're speaking to others about this individual without him finding out. If it wasn't Lashon Hara, you'd say it to his face. That's exactly the equivalent. When you say it to three people, it's equivalent of saying it to his face. Because you know the information that you're giving is going to get to him, and it's going to get back to him, and you know it's as if it's saying face to face. I will get to the halacha in a second. I don't want to pass it. We'll get to Chavetz Chaim.
Again, what if you say it in front of three people, and you say, but don't say a word?
Right, so then it might be, right, then you might have a difference between Macha and Lashon Hara. Because the fact that you're trying to keep it a secret might make it a Lashon Hara, even though we said before that it will spread anyway. And nevertheless, that it will get out. Alright, so now the equation according to the Rashbam is simply about, if it's Lashon Hara, that means that you think the information is going to be contained. If it's not Lashon Hara, you mean you think the information is going to spread. And the same will be the din by Macha. When it's given to two, the information doesn't spread. When you give it to three, it does spread. And the one who objects doesn't hold. Rabbi Bahuna says, even when you tell it to two people, it's not Lashon Hara because it'll spread. If it'll spread, that means when you tell it to two, it's also a good Mecha. So that's the equation that the Rashbam, right, makes over here. So then the Gemara says, lo, Dukul Le'ama Islahu Rabbi Baravuna. Everybody holds of Rabbi Baravuna. So if everybody holds a Rabbi Bahuna, that means that you need a minimum of three in order to have information spread. According to the way the Rashbam is learning, the way Tosfos learns over here, that for it to be considered not Lashon Hara, you need three people, because that's the only way that the information will spread. And the same should be true by a Macha, except, the argument here is, the one who says that it's not a good Macha is that if you don't do a good Macha in front of him, it's not a good Macha. That when you do do it not in front of him, not face to face, then it's not a good mechaz. When he says two, he means edim. You need edim that you objected in front of him face to face. The two is not about spreading the information. When he says you need two, it means you need two edim to witness that you actually objected to him face to face. The one who says three, you don't need it to do face to face, and therefore it's good with three because the information would spread. The other would agree. The other individual would agree that with three it spreads, but he says it's not good enough. You need to do it face to face. That everybody agrees that a mecha shlo b'fanav is a good mecha. This is what the Rabbi goes on. That we need a dut here. That's what you need here. So there's a little bit, I don't know who asked me what was that. You show about the Beis Din. It's not Beis Din here, but right, a lot of times what Shaul is saying is true when we have b'fane nichta, b'fane nechtam. Question of two and three there was the difference between edus and Beis Din, possibly. Right? So now you would think the same thing here. Here the Gemara says no. The difference is whether you need edut or you need gluye milsa. What do you want for the mecha? Do you want it to be in front of edim? And because once it's in front of edim, it's a good mecha. And if it's, once it's a lochik mecha, then we assume whether the information gets them or not, okay, too bad, but we have a lochik mecha. Or do we say that the whole purpose of the mecha, the emphasis of the mecha, is reaching the machzik? If that's the case, you want to be gluye milsa, you want to ensure that it gets spread, and the only way you can ensure that is if it's in front of, right, three people at that time. Right now, so if it wasn't for the fact, I mean, according to one who says that sadus, it's all about edut, then it would be good in front of one too. If it wasn't the fact that you needed edut, one would be sufficient also. All we need to do is create a lachik mecha. But the fact is we need edut, so you need edut, you need two. But that's not, it's not about information spreading, it's more about the mecha. So I guess what you could suggest over here, that the focus here is what's the emphasis of the mecha? Is the emphasis of the mecha that the individual whose property has been taken objects, right? And therefore, edut is important. When it reaches the machzik, that's of secondary importance. Or, do we say that the ikar is that the machzik knows the kibishtar? And therefore, it's a gluya milsa. So you need to get the information out there. You have to ensure that it gets out there. So saying it in front of three is more important than the edut aspect of it. I think that's how you have to explain it. Now,
you also have to,
right, by definition.
Right.
Exactly. That's great. So now, just to go to Halacha L'maisa, I'll read you the Chafetz Chaim over here, so that we don't come to any misunderstandings. We just said that if you say it in front of three, it's not Lashon Hara. That's the way the Rashbam paskins over here. That's the way the Tosus paskins. That if you say it in front of three, it's not Lashon Hara, because the information is going to spread. Information is going to spread. You're not hiding it from the individual. If you're willing to say it face to face, that wouldn't be Lashon Hara. So now listen to this. Asur l'sefer Lashon Hara l'chavero, afshu emet, afilu b'fnei yachid, important, and real, b'choshekein b'fnei rabim. Says even, especially in front of more people. V'choshe yidrabu ha-shomim, the more people that hear it, yidrabu avon ha-misafer. The worse the sentence. B'nei shechavero mitganeh yoter yodezeh. It's worse. The more people that hear about it, the more you degrade the individual, right? The more disparaging it is, the individual. It's a genuto m'fnei kam anashim. Gam shal yodezeh machshil kam anashim b'sur shmiyot lashon hara. And the more people you cause, right, to hear lashon hara. He says, "Umash nimtze heter b'divrei Chazal lomar b'fnei shlosha." What about this heter that apay tlato is just fine? So I just read you. There's a footnote here in the beginning. He says, "Uvnei shekama anashim to'im b'ze." Many people make a mistake. V'tolinet atzman b'divrei Rabbi Bar Vehuna damar b'babatra lametedam at aleph. That there's so meichan Rabbi Bar Vehuna right here in our Gemara. Komilso damar apay tlato leisbu mishulish nabisha. V'fikach matzati atzmi mchuyab b'davar laver davar ze bezrat Hashem b'chol pratav. I'm going to explain it detail by detail so you don't come to the wrong conclusion. But he knows, he's aware that everybody's so meichan this Gemara and says that it's not Lashon Hara. So how does he explain it? He says, oh, but this head there, v'chizol amar v'nishla, haynu b'davar she'enenu g'nai gamor. Something that's not a clear disparaging of the individuals or disparagement. Right. V'adibur shelo yeshlo shnei panim. The statement that you make has two interpretations. It can go one of two ways. It's an ambiguous statement. I mean, there's sometimes where it's clear. If you're speaking Lashon Hara, it's clear. Then Apei Tlata does not help you. What does Apei Tlata help you with? Apei Tlata helps you with when you say something that's ambiguous. It could be interpreted either positively or negatively. Then saying it in front of Tlata makes a difference. Why? Because if you know it's going to get back to the individual, that's clear, then what you're saying or the ambiguity is being solved by the fact that you know it's going to reach the individual, and you're clearly taking the positive side of the information. Right. Whereas if you're trying to hide the information, then it's more likely that you're saying it. But he says it doesn't have to do with your tone. Listen, everything like this depends on how you say it. Sh'omer oto ha-mesaper be'et zipura, the time that you say it. B'zei tiru chazal b'mar b'fnei shlosha. In that instance, they said you're ready to do it before three. B'talu. K'emin sh'omer dvarim b'fnei shlosha, yudea sh'vadai sh'yavo dvarim laznav. This is like the Rashbam's explanation. That it will obviously reach the individual who says it. D'chavre chavre yisle. But the fact that he knows it will reach him from that individual, he's careful when he speaks to say it properly. So it'll be clear, even though the statement is ambiguous, his tone or the way he's saying it will be clear. I'll give you an example. What? Who has fire around here? If I need to go light a fire, who has fire here? But who may shiv? Sham timtza. Over there in that house, you'll find it. Shemavashlim tamid basar v'dagim. They're always cooking in that house. So there, dazer taloi lefi amir tarov shata maser. That will depend on how he says it. Imrotze motzi zeb lashon shein bo gnai lechaverov. You could say it in a way that's not gnai. The gemet, but for me, main bo avlat. Sometimes that's not a negative statement. Why? You don't sheish lo bnei bayit harbe. There's a large household. Oh, vazro kodesh bochu sheish lohon rab. He's wealthy and he has a large household, so he needs to cook all the time. Oh, shemachzik atzani yisholachim akadomet. He's running a motel or he's a big baal chesed. So that's not a gnai. Vushalo. And he means well. He's not saying something negative. He's saying, yeah, they always have fire over there. You can definitely find fire over there. So depending on his tone, you'll know whether he's positive or negative. But his tone will depend also on saying it in front of three. If he says it in front of three, he's going to keep a positive tone because he knows it's going to reach the individual. Whereas, right, the other possibility is when it's avak lashon hara, then davar talui b'open amirat misaper beit diburo. When it comes to lashon hara, your tone or your voice makes no difference. When it comes to avak lashon hara, which is there's a possibility that people could interpret it, then there's a your tone and apei tzlata are going to make a difference, right? B'open amirat misaper beit diburo. Aval imotzeo to b'kolo. If his voice and his mannerisms indicate he's always having social gatherings over there, he's always, you know, this guy's always eating. Okay, it's not a negative, a real negative. The fact that he's always social, that's not a clear negative. It's a vak lashon hara. There, avail hachi karu chazal avak lashon hara. Basur lamar afilu b'flei shlosha. That's already a vak lashon hara. And because of your tone, and because of the way you expressed it, even b'flei shlosha, that'll be a problem. Right, v'yesh umrim, demachad siper gnut achareo b'flei shlosha. If the lashon hara has already been told to three people, after avar b'vaday al yisur lashon hara, even though he's in violation of lashon hara by speaking to these three people, afal b'kenim echam yashlosha shama zez siper achachach lecherim lo avar b'zel yisur lashon hara mitam dikev yishlosha yodim mizeh mimele kvar nishma devar b'nodal akol. Because of the underlying assumption, once three people hear it, it's good. That's like the Rabbeinu Gershom over here. That once the three people heard it, their repetition of the Lashon Hara is not classified as Lashon Hara because everybody knows about it. There's no Lashon Hara when it's already well known. That's only if it comes up in a conversation, you know, as a sidebar in a conversation. If you intend to pass on the bad news or the disparaging remark, that is Lashon Hara. But if you happen to be talking and you mention it, that's not Lashon Hara because it's widely known already. That's information that should be widely known already. Even if you don't tell it over from who you heard it, and then even when it's passed on to other peoples, right? Once it's gone, that heter only applies to the three people who heard it from the first individual. But if someone else heard it, they don't have the heter of apei tzlata, even though someone else tells them it was said in front of three. So that the heter of apei tzlata for you to repeat the information is only if you were one of the three people that was standing there. But if someone else tells you the information and then you want to repeat it, that doesn't make it apei tzlata anymore. You can't pass on this heter of apei tzlata to someone else. All right, just to Megad there, it keeps going. He says, Nirali, this is interesting. If it's in front of three people or Yerelikim, Shinizharim Misirei Lashon Hara, Mimele and Tavar Zasur Leit Galot. Now you can assume that it's not going to get spread or passed on. So you have to know the three people that you're telling it over to, what type of people you're telling it over to, right? That's also important. But here, the Chafetz Chaim goes out of his way to explain this hetev of Apei Tzlata. All right, over here, that we saw that there are two tzadim of Apei Tzlata. As Rabbeinu Gershon, Rabbeinu Chananel says, the people who receive the information no longer have an Isur Lashon Hara. According to the Rashbam, the person who's speaking doesn't have an Isur Lashon Hara. So there, the Chafetz Chaim says, when it's Lashon Hara, real Lashon Hara, there's nothing to talk about. There, Apei Tzlata will help those three individuals when they pass it on, but Be'akrai, if they pass it on just in happenstance, not that they actually speak it over in order to pass it on, then they'll be protected, because we assume that it's spread, the information is spread. Whereas for the individual who spoke it,
because right. It's only by their passing it on that it spreads.
Right, but we assume, like we did in the Gemara before, that people, you know, when they're talking, when they don't think about it, they repeat things that they've heard, even though they don't focus on it. That's the assumption. They pass it on intentionally, but they will pass it on anyway.
Since we have to non-consequence, we have to always assume that the three people that heard that are
right. Right, so then you can't say it over. But for the individual speaking, it's always Lashon Hara if he says something bad, even Ba'apel Tlata. The Heter Ba'apel Tlata is only Bavak Lashon Hara, but Bavak Lashon Hara where you clearly state it in a way that is not interpreted negatively. If it can be interpreted negatively, then there's nothing to talk about. It's only when you say it clearly that it's a positive statement and you know for sure it'll reach the other individual, then we say you're in clear. The ambiguity of your statement is no longer a problem. All right, so let's continue in the Gemara. He had this objection he needed to make. Somebody was on his property illegally, and he wanted to make an objection. Three people. Right, and then he went ahead and he objected in front of them. So now you would have think from the, you would have thought from this that you require a macha before mifnei shlosha. Despite the fact, the Rashbam and others paskin. Right, that the machab b'fnai shnayim is sufficient. And he says that this just happened to be the case. This case is not that he specifically sought out three people, he just happened to pass by and there were three people sitting there. But the balocha is that b'fnai shnayim is sufficient, which we've seen. Till now, we've always explained the Gemara is b'fnai shnayim, and that is the alocha. Right, the shana hadar, the next year he came back, ataleim chuye, and he wanted to object again in front of them. Amulei lo tzrichot, he says you don't need to. Once you've objected the first year, you don't have to repeat your objection. Meaning that you don't have to go year after year. Once you've objected within the first 3 years, right, that's enough that he has to be nisar and ishtar. There's some that say, right, that you don't have to, Chir Barab says it, that what, you don't have to go. Amrei Shlakish, Meshurim Kapara, B'tzarech Limchot, B'sof Gimel V'Gimel. After every 3 years, you still have to go ahead. I mean that you can't have a sequential 3 years go by without a Mecha. I mean, true, if you're Mecha the first year, you don't have to be Mecha the second and third year, but when it comes to the fourth year, you will have to be Mecha again. Right? Toi bar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, what do you mean? V'chi gazlan yishlo chazaka? I mean that if you're mocheh in the first year, then the way he's machzik in the property is a gazlan. So how can he ever establish a right to the property? What are you going to think? That he purchased it afterwards? That he came and bought it? That's what his claim is going to be. That's right. His claim is, you're right. In the first year, I was a gazlan. But after that, I bought it from him. So why should he be believed in that case? He's lost his nemanut when he said he was a gazlan in the first year. So how could it be? Gemara says, gazlan sakadatcho? Ella kik. I mean, what, is he a gazlan? Just because this guy says he's a gazlan, he's a gazlan? No. Ella kik gazlan. Right? He'll be like a gazlan. Yishlo chazaka. So that's it. Now, Marava, the loch is, hilchasa tzarech limchot besof kol gimel v'gimel. You have to do it after every gimel, every after your threes. Right? All right, we'll talk about this in a second. Tanavar kapara, irer chazar v'irer, right? Chazar v'irer, imach matana rishana irer, in lo chazaka. V'imav yesh lo chazaka. If you come and you're moche after each year, or actually even the second year and the third year, you come and moche, but each time you're moche, you do it for a different reason. The first year you come and say he doesn't belong in the land. The second year he says he can be on the land, but he's not entitled to the payroll. The third year you come and do another macha. None of those are macha. Why? Because you are undermining your own macha. The fact that you change what you're being objecting to is indicative of the fact what that your original macha was not a macha. You're erasing your objections. So it has to be, you have to be consistent in your objections. If you're not consistent in your objections, then the original objections will fall apart because you, by undermining your hodat baldin kamei edim dami, you're admitting that the first macha wasn't a good macha. So if you keep doing that, you're going to erase your machot and it won't be considered or classified as a good macha. So now the question is, now Now, Rava comes in Paskins, right? That you have to be Mocher, B'Ksov Gimel, Kol Gimel V'Gimel. So now, what is the statement over here? When Rish Lakish comes in the name of Bar Kapara, it says you have to be Mocher at the end of all, every 3 years. Now, the statement before by Rav, or Chir by Rav, was, Kol Shemicha Shana Rishona, Shuv Ein Tzarech Limchot. You don't have to be mocheh. So from his statement, it sounds like you won't have to be mocheh ever again. I mean, that after the first year, it's fine, and you don't have to do it at all. So that's actually subject to a machlokas here between Tosfos and the Rashbam. If you look in there, the Rashbam is Hachigar Sinar Mesh Lakish. In the middle of that Rashbam, he says, Aval b'sof gimel tzarech limchot. Adayin, t'lo anavi t'lat shnim b'lo mocheh. The t'lat shnim is dari nish v'shtarei. Because for three years, a person keeps his shtar. Achar mocheh. Tvei lo mizdar, v'hochi yukhsa, and that's halacha. Va'afagav the toy bar Rabbi Yochanan, even though Rabbi Yochanan Tmiya haya aval yarei haya lachloka bar kapara. It was simply he raised the question, but he wasn't willing to outright, right, be sholel, right, to argue with the position of Reish Lakish. So you see from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan was questioning, but didn't outright come out and say Rabbi Yochanan Amar, that he's not willing to object it. V'gam rach pasakein. Then he says that v'yesh mefarshim time that tzarich limchol b'sof gimel kadesh lo yiton achar machah machartali b'no yehi early. That we don't. Some people say that the problem is that he'll say that he sold it to me, and then he says that doesn't work at all. Right, so that's the position here of the Rashbam. If you go to Tosfos, he says v'tarach limchot b'sof kol gimel. He says over there in the farish the time of shlo yomar lekachti achar machah kaperish akuntris. Right, he says like the perish akuntris. Ella time of kaperish akuntris is like the way the kuntris explains. Again, it's the Rashbam. I don't know. It sounds like he's quoting the Rashbam. Mishum tlat shin mizdari nish b'shtarei and machar tulo. But he says, "Venira dahay kehilchus the stomach the Gemara kamar la v'lo k'moshe pasuk rach the alocha kebar kapara." He says that he disagrees with the Rashbam and he disagrees with the Rach over here. And he says that when there's a Gemara earlier on, there's a Gemara that we saw in Daf Lamed Aleph, who suggests that once you do a Mecha once, the Mecha is good, and you don't have to keep repeating the Mecha. And we had this here in Rav's statement over here. So he says, I think that's the halacha. The halacha is that like the Toy Bar Rabbi Yochanan. And the halacha is that you have to, once you've objected once, it's sufficient that you don't have to repeat your objections. So Tosfos Paskins, like the Toy Bar Rabbi Yochanan, like the question of Rabbi Yochanan, like the statement that Rav before, which seems to indicate that he doesn't have to repeat it, whereas, right? But even though Tosfos right before says, V'ainzim farsh, v'ainzim chot ad olam, that when Rav made that statement, doesn't mean forever. It means, no, that you don't have to do it until, like Reish Lakish says, until the next 3 years. Because we don't want to say that necessarily that he's arguing Reish Lakish. Otherwise, the Gemara should have read Omer Reish Lakish as an argument rather than, right, the way our Gemara continues, which is it's an independent statement, right? It should be Omer Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish disagrees. The fact that it starts a new statement is as if it's a new Gemara. It's not arguing with the previous Gemara. Now, most of the Rishonim disagree with Tosfos over here, right? And they paskin like, and passing like Rava, which the halacha is that you have to object every 3 years. But Tosfos, because he's trying to reconcile with the Gemara back on Lamed Aleph, says no, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan who objects to Bar Kapara, and you don't have to object after the first time. There, the Rosh and other Rishonim reconcile between the two Gemaras, and therefore they pass in like Bar Kapara that you have to object every 3 years. Alright, we'll stop over here.